Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Mariella Kazemi, and we are going to talk about worship this afternoon. I'm going to try to keep it and make it very practical when it comes to working with worship teams or being a worship leader. I would love to see hands if you are involved in your worship team. It doesn't really matter if you are or not, but I'd just love to see. Okay. And then we'll also touch on a little bit on if you're a senior leader or a pastor or in leadership, how to work with your worship teams, what to do. The title of this message is Returning to the Heart of Worship. And I would like to just start with just praying and inviting the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
So thank you, Jesus. We just want to honor you in this room. We want to honor you, Holy Spirit. I know we've heard a lot over these last couple of days, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be the one that reveals the things that I'm speaking, Lord, into the hearts of those that are sitting here. Lord, you know them, and you know what they need in this season. So will you highlight the things in my mind that need to be spoken and what needs to be left out? We just ask you to manifest your presence in our midst as we love you and we just want to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I would like to start sharing a little bit of my story. I know probably many of you don't know me. I'm married to Kevin Kazemi right here. We have three beautiful children. And we planted a church about 5 years ago. But we lived as missionaries in South Africa for about 7 years before we came here. So we moved to the United States in 2016 because we believed God called us to Ohio to continue our mission work. After 2 years, we felt God was leading us to plant a church. In September 2018, Identity Church was founded with a name, a vision, and a handful of people. Everyone pitched in to help, but I was the only one with some worship experience and guitar skills. So I became the worship leader. Although I didn't feel fully equipped for the role, I believed it was what God wanted me to do. I am a self-taught guitar player, not a skilled musician, but I love to worship Jesus with all of my heart. So when we started our church, we had another singer join and somebody that kind of played a little bit on the cajon, and that's how it all started. Working with my husband, the lead pastor, we determined to pursue God wholeheartedly. Now, to be honest, as we started from bottom with just, you know, me and my guitar and my voice that I offered up to the Lord, and I asked, Lord, please anoint me because I need your anointing because I'm not trained. My voice was not trained. I'm just, you know, a simple person with a guitar that was willing. You know, I almost felt like the little boy with the five loaves and the two fishes and said, here, Lord. This is what I have. Could you take it and break it and multiply it? So that's what I did. But it was very hard work. So how many of you know that pioneering something is hard work? Now, besides that, we also came from South Africa. And we had a beautiful church congregation there that was very free in their expression of worship. And there was just so much presence of God, and the gifts would flow. And so we came from that, and then we moved to Ohio. And it was a little bit of a shock for us, to be honest, in the beginning. So I would start, you know, leading worship, and I would expect people to sing out loud and jump in and lift their hands. And there was not so much of that. So we figured out pretty quickly that the expression in Ohio of people were just less than what we were used to. So it felt a little bit as hard ground, to be honest, because we were just used to, you know, a certain level of freedom and expression in worship. But it didn't matter. Our hearts remained the same. And we surely but surely set the stage, and we encouraged people to lift up their hands, lift up their voices, to worship him. So, you know, looking back now, we have really created a culture for people to come and respond in worship. But it felt like almost like a plowing. As our church grew, so did our worship team. And pretty soon I discovered that people were not used to flowing with the Holy Spirit in worship. And they didn't know what I was talking about when I said, this song is not a worship song. The way we saw worship was pretty unusual. And that was something new to me. Now, I want to quickly look at the word worship. If we look at the word worship in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it's the same meaning. It's a different word because it's a different language. But it basically means to bow, to stoop, to bow down before someone as an act of submission or reverence, to worship, to fall or bow down when paying homage to God. The primary meaning is to make oneself low. In the present reference, this word is used in contrast to exaltation. Exalt the Lord and worship. Bow yourself down low before him at the place of his feet. It's a powerful word. And it was first mentioned in the Bible when Abraham went up Mount Moriah to offer Isaac. And it's a picture of total surrender to God. We should humble ourselves as we lift him high and acknowledge he is God, our creator. He is holy. As Paul says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. That means dedicating all of yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. Now, when we come together on Sunday mornings as his people, our voices and instruments should be used to lift him. Worship has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with exalting him, pleasing him, thanking him, and praising him. Now, the sound of modern worship nowadays, if you look around, has grown louder. But the heartbeat of true worship has grown faint. And I'm talking about, I'm just looking in America and, you know, some worship movements that are exploding and it looks great, but sometimes misses the heart of true worship and exalting the Lord. Sometimes it looks like it becomes more about the skilled musician, worship leaders who are more concerned about knowing their set list in and out and planning everything to the T. It might look impressive with lights and smoke machines and loud volume, and even though there's nothing wrong with those things, it can be empty inside. You can take a worshiping people and add all the instruments and the lights and the smoke machines and all that, and it might make it louder or more visual stimulating, but you won't make it more powerful. Yes. The reason is simple. Why is it not being made more powerful? Because the heart of worship has nothing to do with any of these things. The power has never flowed from its form, but the power has always flowed from his presence. Yes. It reminds me of what Jesus said when he quoted in Isaiah the prophet. And he said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me. You know that he is after our hearts in relationship with him as we are after his. The Bible says in John 4:3, but a time is coming, and it's already here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, which means from the heart, from your inner self, and in truth, for the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. I think that's powerful. He is seeking for the people that are willing to worship him from their innermost being, from the truth, the places that nobody sees, but he does, and from the spirit. Why from the spirit? Simply because God is spirit, and we can only worship him with our spirit. Worship God in spirit, as he is spirit, and worship in truth by declaring the truth of who he is, works like this. The more you discover about him, the more your worship will flow out of you naturally. As you meditate on His truth and His word, you won't be able to keep silent.
Come on.
That's why your relationship with Him is crucial, because worship flows from it. Therefore, it's vital that even the people that you invite into your worship team, or even into your leadership team, have a growing relationship with Jesus and a strong desire to know Him more. We had a situation as we were building over the years. We're 5 years old now as a church. But we were organizing a conference. And everyone knows if you have a conference, you get speakers coming in, you want to show off a little bit. You know, you want to put a good worship team up there. You know, it's going to be good music. It's going to be good. So, but somehow our drummer was not available that Sunday morning. And we heard from one of the people that was in the team, one of their family members was a drummer. So we're like, it's good. You need to have some rhythm, you know, like without a drum, it's kind of flat. So we just were like, could you, you know, ask your brother to come in just for that one Sunday and just sit on the drums? And oh my goodness, it was so loud, and it was a constant. There was no, you know how the drum can really, like, it can like lift up a song and can bring it down. There was a constant drum, and it was just loud in the ears, and we were just like, okay, Lord, I promise I will never do this again. But the importance of the difference, somebody that is born again, has a relationship with Jesus, has that love, you know, when it says in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, it's like a clanging sound, or it's like empty. You know, I could so feel the emptiness of that sound, that it was like, it just turned me off. Like, no, this is not worship. Because the person didn't carry that relationship with Jesus. So the fragrance of that didn't come through at all. It was just loud and it was empty. And we said, we are never, I mean, you know, we kind of broke our own rules because we already said that, like, we're not going to do that. But, you know, desperate times, desperate measures. You know, we got to put somebody there. So that's,
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. But, you know, you learn your lessons. Now let's look a little bit practically at how we can implement all this, you know, in our worship teams. I think, first of all, I want to mention the importance of the role of the lead pastor, and even the relationship between the lead pastor and the worship leader. So Larry and Laverne always taught us that the real worship leader in the church is the lead pastor. The culture of worship flows from the top down, and worship leaders are not the top. And this is even, I think maybe they got that from Jack Hayford saying the same thing. But the worship leaders and partners are your partners. So worship leaders and the main leaders, they work together in partnership. So if you look at the overall Sunday morning gathering together, the overall leader is the lead pastor. And then, you know, the worship leader submits under that leadership, but it's not like, I can't say anything, or I can't, this is, you know, but it's a co-working.
That's right.
Where you together, because what's the goal, what's the vision of coming together on a Sunday morning? We want to end up at His feet.
Yes.
That's the goal. So how can we work together as lead pastor and as worship leader? Is it the communication and the, if there's a song where there's like a presence on it, we stop and we continue with that. So there's a co-working with that. And we learned that, you know, it was actually pretty neat. Me doing the worship and having Him as a lead pastor, we could really develop that, you know, because it takes time to get to know, like, what do you mean with this? Or like, what are you saying, you know, like that. So it takes time. But it's very important. Also, I think speaking to senior leaders, just to know that worship leaders really rely on your permissions and guidance.
Yes, that's right.
So you have to be the one influencing them, speaking into them, encouraging them into what you see you want to see happen in the worship. So, for example, we encourage our leaders and say, watch Jesus' image, for example. That's very connected to our heart, what we want to see being done in the service. So we direct them even into what they're listening to, what they're reading. You know, we provide them with sermons sometimes, or information, or books that, like, read this in line with vision, what we want to see. And we want to end up seeing the room filled with the presence of God. That's our main goal. That's where we want to end up. We want to see the kingdom come. We want to see Jesus stepping in and kingdom come. When kingdom comes, that means that there is no way for sickness. There's no way for, no grief can be there. No pain, no sorrow. We want to see that. And it's not just the outer workings, but it's about him. Because we can talk about the presence and the presence. And it's not just a word. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's him. It's a person. And he, you know, as we lift up our voices and we lift up our praise from the heart, from our spirit, and we touch his heart, he automatically will come and touch ours. And we are after that moment. That moment, because when he comes, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And we've seen it. You know, we've touched it. Not to the extent where we want to be, but we have seen it, where God would come and people would be healed, and people would be touched, emotionally healed, delivered from things. Amazing. And that's the goal. It's not just going from song to song to song and be done. It's we were after him. We want to pour out our love to him. That brings me to the second point, that is the set list. And this might not relate to everyone, because it's mainly the worship leaders that make the set list. But I think we should dare in our set list to rest in the holy moments and stop when he is touching a song. Now, God has sent us several people who joined our worship team and started leading worship. But as they came from different churches, they brought in a different culture. A preconditioned 30 minutes of worship. They had an internal clock almost, and were so trained in a certain way that they would just plow through the set list and be done, missing what God wanted to do or rest on. So, you know, you can sometimes become so trained, and we have this 30-minute slot. We got to go through these songs, and then we're done. We'll go through the word, and then we're going to go home. And we're missing totally what God wants to do that morning. So what are we after? What are we after? We're after him. We're after his presence. And I want to quickly want to read from 2 Chronicles 5 as just an example. When Solomon built a temple, and when they dedicated the temple, and it says in verse 13, so this is 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13, it says, "Indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." That's our heart. That's our desire. The glory of the Lord. Can we come to a place where we can, with our voices as one, that we touch his heart so much that he's like, "I want to come there. I feel invited there. I want to manifest myself there." And then we're done. Because he's there and we're going to be undone. We're going to be undone. When it comes to making a set list, and if you feel like maybe you are stuck in your internal clock, or maybe you are trained in a certain way, and it's you think, "How do I get out of here?" You know, it's and of course, you need to, working together with the lead pastor, you need to get the freedom to stop and to go after the Holy Spirit. But it could be as simple as making a commitment any time that you feel God's presence resting on something, you do not move until you feel it lift. Okay? It's we can sing a song. Have you had that? No, it's a good song. Okay, next song. And then suddenly, or you sing a phrase, and you feel like, wow, the presence of God is on this. He's touching something. You sing it another time. You sing it another time. You sing it another time. You know, can we, you know, commit to that? If you feel like you're stuck in that clock, in that just plowing through the songs, just simple in your heart. And it, you don't have to do it perfect. You might have to grow into it. But that you just stop in those moments and just see what is God going to do. Do you stay here to go to the next song? I was always like, okay, God, are we done with this song? Yeah, okay, we're done. Okay, next song, are we done? No, we're not done with this song. Okay, we're going to keep, you know. Or Steve was talking about, do he want me to repeat that again? Yes, we're going to repeat that again. So, importance of the songs that you choose. I touched on this, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. So many songs are called worship songs, but they're actually not worshiping God. They're focused on us. And there's nothing wrong with those songs. I call them radio songs. You know, it's nice when I drive in my car and I put on the radio and I listen to those songs. And you know, God can minister to that. Like, oh, I went through this and God delivered me from that. And oh, he loves me. And that's, I love those songs. But they're not worshiping or lifting up the name of the Lord. So be mindful the way you pick songs. Like, is it actually lifting him up? Is it bringing him glory or is it talking about us? And a lot of songs are, could be a mix, you know, where it does a little bit of both. But just to be aware of that and know when you worship as a worship leader where you want to go. The worship set is almost like you want to take people on a journey. You know, on Sunday mornings, people come in, they're all, you know, not together in their minds, and they just drag their kids from the home, and they're happy they put them in their classes, and they're, you know. So when people come in, when you start to worship, they're not ready for, I'm falling on my knees and worship intimately close to you. They're like, wait, I need to I just got my coffee in. I gotta focus. So even your worship set is like, it's like a journey. You gotta take the people by the hand. You gotta lead them. That's why you call the worship leader.
Right.
You gotta lead them into the presence.
That's right.
So you go from A, you go from, you know, start with some songs that are declaring who God is. To get people reminded of like, oh, this is the God I serve. You know, you go from there and then you end up with really the worship songs. And there are some worship songs that are holy. That are so, they need a certain atmosphere for it to work in a powerful way. You can sing them any time, but it's going to be flat. But they need a little bit of an atmosphere for it to work. And you need to bring people to that point. So making a worship set, I always used to sit before the Lord and figure out what I felt like the Lord would put his anointing on. And it could have changed, you know, just, but I, like, this is a song I feel like the Lord is anointing. So I would work my way up there. So you never want to start where you want to end up.
That's right.
You know, you don't want to start with the end. You want to start working your way up there.
That's right.
It's taking people by the hand. You're leading the way. You're saying, okay, guys, this is who God is. Do you remember? He died for us. He rose again. He's a good God. He's faithful. And then, you know, you can only do that for a little bit, and people will be like, yes, this is who our God is. And then you go into praise, and from that praise, you know, you wait for those moments, and then you feel like, yes, now we can go into, now the hearts of the people are ready. Now we can go into worship. And then you pick those songs that are like lifting him up. And, you know, Jesus, we worship you. We adore you. We glorify you. That's where you want to end up. And then, you know, you pause. You think, like, Lord, are you moving on this? You know, and in our congregation, we have sometimes people come up with words and try to flow with that. But that's your goal. That's your vision. And sometimes it's amazing. We hit it. It was great. We didn't miss it. And sometimes it's just been like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I totally, You were the guy with the red head and I missed you totally. I didn't see it. You know, it's a process and it takes time, to be honest. Like we're in here 5 years old church and we've come a long way. It's just beautiful to see how God has been working in our church. Also, last of the points kind of rounding up, and then there will be a time to ask some questions if you have them. How to create a culture within your team, within the worship team or your leadership team. Building relationship together is crucial. So we, after a while, because there was a little bit of a time of transition, you know, as Steve said, leadership is all about raising up the other people, you know, and working yourself out of the job. So that's what I did immediately. Started raising up other people and trying to pour myself into getting the culture into them. And that works up until a certain point, and I think they get tired of your voice. They're like, okay, I know what you're saying. I know where you want to go. So we had to create a space where we could pull into resources and meet with the core. We meet with our whole worship team, you know, every couple of months, but we specifically meet with the three worship leaders that we have right now once a month. We invite them into our home. It's almost like it's one of our cell groups. We call them DNA groups, but we created a cell group with the worship leaders. And we just got some resources, and we're going through books, and we're listening to preachers and sermons on worship and that speak the same language that we do. But just for them to hear it from somebody else, it just makes the world of a difference. Then, and we see we have one girl, and she's been with me almost, you know, from maybe in 1 year into it, maybe from the beginning, yeah. Pretty much. And she's getting it. Yeah. Yeah. She's getting it. Her set list is starting to change. So listen, this is a couple of years in, okay? So it's not that you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna do this and next week we're gonna have a revival. Yeah. So this is a process, okay? So now slowly we see, oh my goodness, the song she picks, I'm like, yes, yes, you're getting it. And it's beautiful, it's beautiful. So really to pour out your heart in the main worship leaders is gonna be key.
Absolutely.
And not only to have a place where you can have them connected to the right resources, but also just to hang out together, get to know each other. Because if you're a stranger with one another and you stand up front and you're trying to communicate or like, there can be a lot of miscommunication just because you don't know each other. It's like, okay, I think you were trying to say this, but I didn't. So that will really help as you build relationship together. Just sitting down, having a meal together. We usually sometimes do food and nothing else. Sometimes we just really intentionally go through materials that we feel like is pointing them in the right direction. Of course, it's very important who you have on your team. And I kind of touched on that. Do they carry his presence? We developed a whole process. It's almost like modeling Dove. It's kind of hard to come in and easy to go out. We make it a hard process to come into the worship team because I just don't want to have anyone. I'm not looking for, somebody comes into my church and they have a gift. Okay, I'm going to put you on the platform. That's really not our value. Our value is really if you come in, start serving and just seeing how they are, character, everything. And do they carry? Because, you know, as we talked about, it's one thing to play an instrument. But the difference is, do you carry the presence of God? Do you carry the presence of God with that? And you know, as I was sharing my story, like, I'm not a skilled musician. Honestly, I was like, Lord, if you don't anoint what I'm doing, it's going to be empty. It's going to be nothing. So I was relying on the anointing of the Holy Spirit to lead. But I think even if you're skilled, that's what it comes down to. Because you can never, if you end up relying on your own giftings and your own skills, then we miss the point anyways. I believe, before we go into questions, As you build this culture, first within yourself, in your own relationship with God, then within your leadership or worship team, it will eventually spread to the body. And as they will more and more respond and come with their sacrifice of praise and worship, that's where you can expect to touch His heart and see miracles happen. So we're trusting for that. You know, we see it more and more. People are more and more free. But just to have that shift in the mindset of people where it's not just a spectatorship. It's not just like, I come here and I watch the worship team do the worship, and then we're done. Like, no, you have something in your heart that you need to bring that makes the worship explode. Because if it's, you know, we read about it, it's one voice. So that means that everybody's voice was as one. It's not just the singers with the trumpets and the specific people. It was everybody. And we really believe that as we continue to teach and to model and to go after His heart, that it's just going to increase. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions? I'm going to do my best to answer them. I have my husband here. If there's like leadership questions for lead pastor, you know, feel free. If any questions. Yes.
Maybe you touched on this before, but do you like give recommendations for songs, or do you like look at their list before they you know, on a Sunday, or do you just let them have full reign?
Okay. So the question is, if I look at the set list, and if I give recommendations for songs, I just repeat it for the sake of recording. Yes, I do. Yes. They always send a set list to me before they put it up in the planning center for everyone to see. And this is not to be controlling, but this is because I am the worship director, so I protect the culture. I want to protect, so this helps with not songs sneaking in that are, like I talked about, they're not worship songs. They're not lifting in. I mean, we had many, you know, I give them the freedom. Like, if you want to do a new song, you know, but it has to come through me first. Just send me the song. I will listen to it. And then I'll let you know if that fits or not. Because they are growing. You know, they're not on a point where I feel like, okay, I can release and it's going to be fine. So just to protect what we are trying to do and the culture that we're trying to set, yes, they do send a set list to me and I look through it. And honestly, I haven't done a lot of changes to it. But sometimes I do when I really feel like, or like I feel like, oh, no, this song should maybe go there, or the order of songs, like we were talking about, you going somewhere, you know, they tend to sometimes put the song where it feels like it could end in the beginning, and that would just, you know, stop the flow. So yes, yeah, good question. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? I give some time. That's fine. You can think.
Okay, I have tons of questions, but I have no idea where to start.
So when you were starting in church,
yes. So when we started the church, this is the question, did we start with a lot of people, and how did we bring
all the team members, like band members, or was it just
right? How bring the musicians on, yeah. When we started, you know, I kind of said it in the beginning, it was just me, a singer, and it was me and my guitar, and then somebody on the cajon. So that was kind of like, okay, just join and make some noise, you know, something. And honestly, there was, in the beginning, it was a little bit more of like, you play something? Okay, you're on. You know, so yes. It was, you know, because, you know, you got to start somewhere. But as we grew and as things developed, I learned, and sometimes the hard way, that we needed to have a process. And that it was not just about Joe can play the guitar, so Joe is going to play the guitar.
Right.
You know, and there was a lot of things happen, and I had to kind of reel it back in and reevaluate. And basically, that's how we, you know, you work with what you have in the beginning, and then you try to work out the mistakes that they make and try to teach them, like, no, not like this, but we want to see it like that. And, you know, and then it sometimes is messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's unavoidable, especially when you just start from scratch, because, yeah, you also don't really know people, you don't know, you know. But pretty quickly, I started to implement that they had to do an audition. Because that was the first thing that I was like, you know, oh, my husband is a very good singer. I'm like, you're on. And I was like, no, okay, no, not a good idea. Lord, how do I undo this?
Offending anyone.
There is, yes, there has been many occasions where the Lord gracefully opened the person's eyes and they were like, I don't feel like I'm on the right spot. I'm like, thank you. Yes. Yes. You should be gracefully removed. Thank you. So I'm not a big confronter, so that was really helpful for me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me on those. Literally, there was, in the beginning, there was not one confronting conversation I had to have. It was kind of like it worked, you know, by the Holy Spirit, kind of gracefully, you know. But that's why I was like, I need to hear these people before I put them on the team. You know, they need to audition. So, you know, I started to develop that. I started to put things on paper and, like, what are our values and just a little bit of an interview and, you know, so, yeah.
How did you handle the ones when you did have to, that they weren't as clued into the Holy Spirit and they still wanted to be on the team?
So how did I handle the ones that were not so in tune in the Holy Spirit, but they did come onto the team? Right, and I had to just tell them that they're not the right fit. I'm thinking if we really had that. We just had one.
I mean, the good example is, you know, with the lady on the keyboard.
Yes, we just had one lady. God bless her heart. She she did so her best.
Yeah,
and probably. She was such a blessing. You know, this is really like the beginning year, maybe. She opened her home and we practiced and there, and she just was like, I can play the guitar, you know, and I was like, no, maybe, you know. She's like, I can also play the little keys. I'm like, keys it is, you're gonna be on the keys, yes, let's do that, you know. It's, you know, I'm like, we need the keys. I could play guitar, so if I, you know, she was a little bit out of rhythm, so if you have two guitars and one is kind of going a different rhythm than you are, it's like, so dealing with that, you know, me having a lot of grace for somebody, eventually, we had to have a little bit of a hard conversation. I think at the end, hard. I bring it in a way of, like, we want you to step up a little. You know, you need to improve. What I was basically saying, like, you need to do something about your skills. You need to improve them. You know, and I don't know if she got really the message. Or
I think the situation was more, sorry, I don't want to jump in.
No, you can jump in. Yes.
You allow me?
Yes.
Okay. I think the situation was more that the rest of the team was developing.
Yes.
And so she was among the first people in,
mm-hmm.
but she was kind of on the same rhythm. Great heart,
yes.
But she was not improving. And so there was a complaint among the worship team because they were trying to go a certain direction, but she was not flowing with them on the key.
Mm-hmm.
So we was kind of trying to say to her, like, it's awesome, we love you, you're faithful,
right.
But, you know, all of us need to go home and just, you know, just take the keyboard and learn a little bit extra and practice at home and worship. And but she became very defensive, like,
yeah.
You know, like, this is my ministry, you know, and this is what the Lord is telling me to do. And we had to kind of say to her, no, it's not your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing the keyboard. You're a steward. It's part of Identity Church vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so she ended up being super upset and rebuking me and leaving the church. I don't know why I get rebuked, but that was kind of the situation.
Yep.
But apart from that, we never had.
No, we never really had.
No, God. I mean, God knows that she doesn't handle conflict, and I don't need to step in. So
God sometimes helped me with stuff.
You know, the greatest key is that you can actually pray.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's almost like the trend, they realize themselves. It's nothing against
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
They realize themselves, maybe there's another place in the church I can serve. you know, where I can be more, you know, because in the end it is the heart,
yeah.
But at the same time, skills do matter when you want to go
That's
to
right.
a certain level.
That's
you
right.
You just don't want to have good heart, no skill. You want to have both.
Yes.
If you want to go to certain places, you know,
yeah.
So that's gonna. And another thing, just to add on, if yeah. you want to have worship people, we have a lot of people volunteering to worship.
Mm.
I believe if a lead pastor puts an emphasis on the presence of God, you will attract musicians.
Yeah, we've seen
I
that.
Believe in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to try to find people. If you literally create a culture of the presence as the lead pastor, musicians will come. There's yeah. like Bethel, never mm-hmm. shortage of worship leaders or
mm-hmm.
musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' image, many examples. And if you look at the lead pastors, like Bill Johnson or Michael Culiano, all of them are really focusing on the presence
yes.
of God, like
yes.
upper room and,
yeah.
you know, and many examples. So our heart was always like, we never really, like, we just had people coming in because our focus was always the presence
mm-hmm.
and worship is part of that. And we believe if you emphasize His presence, God will bring the people, you know, to accommodate what you want to see in the church. So, sorry.
Amen. No, absolutely. Thank you for that. We have seen that tremendously. Yeah. Yes.
Do you write your own songs out of the church, or do you emphasize or try to do that?
So the question is if we write our own songs and if we emphasize that. Not at the moment. We have had people coming up to us and saying, like, we want to write our own songs, we want to sit together and create, and we have said, awesome, go for it. You know, they really had a heart for it, but never really anything came out of that. I don't even know if they ended up meeting or not. So not at this stage, no. Yeah.
But we always encourage it.
Yeah, I would love it. Yes, that's...
Other churches, but is attire, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good.
That's
and
good.
Since we've had to deal with it, I mean, from the first church when we were out of Bible school in Australia, we had to have really embarrassing conversations about attire. People get upset all the time.
Yeah.
They get really upset. So now I try to cover it every spring. Give their wardrobe refresh because you know they're going to forget. But even so, people are so sensitive. I don't know if you have any good wisdom to share with us how you.
Yeah, so the question is about
yeah.
attire or the way you dress. Very, very good one. Very, very important. Because you stand up front there, people look at you. You know, you cannot avoid that. So I have put that in our list where I go through with people before they join the team. And I think it sounds like you guys do the same thing. So I talk to them about it. You know, we honestly, guys are usually not so much of a problem. It's usually the ladies. But I'm very specific, you know, no showing on top, no cracks, bottom, top or bottom, you know. That's literally what I said. It's like, I don't want to see none of that. And then, you know, over the knees, cover the knees. Yeah. So, and then we have had only one time I remember with a lady that I was like, she texted me. She was like, I don't know if this dress is too short or not. And then this was like, you know, I was on my way to church. So I was like, there's nothing you can do about it. And so, and then I saw her up there and I was like, yeah, that's definitely too short. but apart from that, I don't think we've ever, we only had to address, and this is funny, we had to address the men because we do have some different cultures within our worship team. And we had just one person and sometimes more people that would come up with shorts and flip-flops, you know. So as that is okay in some cultures or churches, I guess South Africa, it was kind of normal. But Ohio is kind of like, yeah, you know.
In the middle of winter.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. So we had to, like.
Sure, sure. The weirdest thing about the people in Ohio.
Shorts and flip-flops.
It's amazing.
So, you know, and we did go through a season where we were in a building with no AC, so we kind of let it go because it was just hot, you know. So then you want to give grace to people on the team. But when we transitioned into the building that we're in now, we have perfect air conditioning. No, the temperature is fine. We had to kind of, I had to readdress and say, like, listen, guys, no shorts, no flip-flops.
It is important to emphasize, it's not a matter of holiness.
Yes.
You know, because I'm very firm on this together with, you know, with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, of course, when you dress, it should not be immoral that causes people to stumble. Because, you know, they're standing up there, and if somebody dresses in a certain way that's productive, I mean, it's just, that's a whole different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is more our culture, the way we dress behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
So if you go to a church and the culture is shorts, flip-flops, tank tops, I mean, like, for men. Merle is like, tank tops now. His eyes just became like this now. You know, so it's like, we came from Muesenberg. Muesenberg, literally, yeah. it's a surfing culture.
Yes.
Right. You know, so like, if you would come dressed, like, I brought a preacher friend from the Netherlands. He walked in with his six guys
full
behind him,
suit.
All full-blown suit. And my pastor was like, who is this? Like, Men in Black? You know, he didn't get it, you know? So I was like, you're dressing wrong for the culture.
Yeah.
But once again, like, you know, we dress business casual. That's where we are behind the pulpit back home. And so we say to people, like, it's not so much about a matter of holiness. It's more our culture.
Yeah.
So unless it is immoral. So it's culture for us. You know, we just want to be presentable behind the pulpit.
That's it.
Because we're handling the Word of God. So that's what we do.
Yeah.
Even like wearing a hat in the building and stuff, in some of the churches and culture, that would be a huge
issue.
In others.
Yeah, exactly. So example like this, like somebody was like, why do you keep on taking it off? I said, because of cultures.
Yeah.
Like for me, you know, I can put a hoodie on and preach, you know, like in a sense of like, I don't believe that I'm more holy.
Correct.
Yeah.
But there are cultures, you know, like we will have people in our church that would be offended of me wearing a hat, so I will never have it on if I'm behind the pulpit, for the sake of the conscience of my brothers, you know? But once again, like, I'm not immoral wearing a... I'm hiding more. I mean, the Jews put a cap on their heads, the Muslim, like, they all cover their heads, and we Christians should uncover our heads. It just...
Right.
Just, so.
And I think when it comes to dress code, and this is what I tell my team, if you doubt, don't do it. Because it's always like, oh, is this okay? Then it's probably not okay if you have to think if this is okay. So that's, yes. So that's a very good guideline that I tell. If you think you have to ask somebody to look at your clothes, then maybe you should change.
I was thinking maybe we can share about like the importance of, like touch on more, I think, you know, how, like, we tell our worship leaders to not just, you know, on Sunday morning, like, but before you lead people into the presence, like, don't command them to, like, you know, raise up your hands and, you know, sing louder.
Yes.
And when you bring that spirit behind worship, it actually causes people to step more back.
Yes.
And rather leading by example, you lift up your voice.
Yeah.
And you lead by, so.
Yeah.
Know.
So we're called worship leaders. And if you're a leader, that means that you go before the people. So sometimes we've had scenarios where the worship leader would get, they were like, I'm just frustrated. People are just, they don't worship and they don't do, you know, they don't lift up their hands. So it would become of like a, come on, lift up your voice, lift up your hands. You know, it's almost like, do something. You know, we're worshiping. And you know, coming, I know where it comes from because, because as a worship leader, you've already been there from 8 o'clock in the morning, and you've been practicing, and you feel like you're in the glory, and you see Jesus, and Jesus is great, and you're like, why don't you see how great Jesus is? Why are you not worshiping? So sometimes it would come a little bit more of the frustration would come out, or maybe even somebody has more of a personality where they're more, you know, direct in their communication, and then that could come out, and it would be more like, come on, lift your voice, you know, and then people would, what would happen, they would not lift their voice, they would become quiet. So as worship leader, you can say, there's time to lift up our voices, but then you need to lift up your voice.
Yeah.
So instead of saying worship the Lord, you have to say, Lord, we start worshiping you, we lift up our hands, we lift up our voice, you know, you start to lead them into it, like, because honestly, a lot of people also, they don't know what to say to God. They don't know what to sing. So you can say you lift up your voice, and they're like, well, what am I supposed to say? And, you know, so in that sense, we got to be like, okay, Lord, you know, or you start with like, oh, you're holy, or just some character aspect of him, and then people can follow you into that place.
Right.
So then it's not like they don't feel like, I don't know, I'm supposed to do something. Lift up hands, So, you know, it's a different feel when you come and you say, okay, let's do this, guys. Let's do this together. And this is how we do it, because that's why you are there for. You know, you know where you want to go, so you gotta bring them with you. So that's actually a very good point of how to lead, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, just to repeat your question, is it okay to start with like a upbeat song where people get the people to clap and get them involved in that way to kind of lead them from there? Is that correct?
Yeah. Like, even like instructing them. All right, everyone clap.
Instructing them to clap.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of like along with
yes. Them. Yeah. I think that's an awesome way to start your worship, because you know, people come in and they need to be brought somewhere. So they're not ready, you know, as I mentioned, they're not ready for like the holy moment yet. So you got to start with activating them. And yeah, you can say like, yes, we can clap our hands for this song. You know, that's totally fine.
And commanding is two different things.
Yes. I think that's a good one. You can instruct them in such a way that it doesn't become a command.
Yeah.
Or doesn't come over like, yes, everybody's like, oh, yes, we're going to do this. And I think reality is, you know, it's not about the two fast songs and the three slow songs, but reality is people are not ready yet for the slow songs, even though, you know we can enter in just like that and we're in the presence. We can, but it takes, you know, and it's kind of a natural process. It's like if you meet somebody that is totally new and you would greet them and that person would be dumping out all of their intimate, you know, information to you, don't you be like, awkward, you know, that's, you know, you're not ready for that, you know, you need to develop that relationship a little bit, and that's kind of in worship too. So you kind of, usually it tends to be like you start a little bit with the upbeat songs that are more praise songs, are more focused on who God is, you know, declaration songs, I call them declaration songs, it declares like, God, you're good, you're faithful, you've done this in my life, and that's good, but you don't want to get stuck there, you know, you want to move on to, okay, now we remember who our God is, yes, do you remember what we're here for, yes, now we want to move on to worship, so, but yes, instruction, gently, yes, very good, totally fine, yes.
New songs. And how did they know that they have permission to do it?
Okay. So how have we worked with getting people into, you know, of giving them the freedom for prophetic songs to release that, and how to give the permission for that in the worship leaders? Yes. Very good question. I think teaching them, you know, what we kind of touched on here, what I shared, giving them the permission to stop on the moments where they feel the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only maybe been fairly for the last year and a half. We have three worship leaders, so the one is a little further with that than the other. Stop on the holy moments. It's okay to, we don't even have to go through the whole set list.
Yeah.
We don't even have to go through all the five songs. It's totally fine if we only do two. So giving them the permission that they know, if you feel like there's a lingering and you know, together working, you know, again, working with the worship leader, the lead pastor, there is something on this song. We're going to stay with that, and we're going to milk it almost until we feel like, okay, the Lord is moving on. They have that permission. Yeah. They know that. And then there's also the moments when that starts to flow, then you also see that there's songs coming up, prophetic songs, where they feel like a phrase, where they can sing out and that we can repeat. And so I think when they know they have that freedom from leadership, creates that space for them to grow. Because it's not just an overnight thing, as I said, it takes time. You know, even for them to, you know, it's a scary thing. It really is, because, you know, up on the stage and you're responsible for leading people, and you're responsible for worship and set lists and songs. And so what if it fails? What if it flunks? You know, everybody's looking at you. What are you? But for them to step into that, you know, we would encourage that. Step into it. Step out. Did you feel, you know, debriefing sometimes after? Did you feel the presence of God on that song? You know, yes, you did right. We stayed there.
And
important.
I think it's also as important as a lead pastor to work with them.
Yeah.
Because what we do is that we have a separate day during the week where we do prayer and worship together. Like, it's the bowl and harp principle.
Yeah.
So I can pray and then tell the worship team to turn that prayer into a worship song, and that teaches them to flow prophetically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it doesn't always have to be that they start. We call Sunday morning, that's when you execute.
Yeah.
That's not when you practice.
That's right.
So we kind of work during the week with them, and we give them permission to make mistakes, because
yep.
I do them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and we say, it's okay, do mistakes. Sometimes people don't even know that you have done one, except us.
Right.
But we give you permission to do that.
That's so very good.
Yeah.
It's good.
And this doesn't just apply to this year either, but creating an environment where people are willing to take chances bears a lot on the senior pastor.
Yes.
Taking responsibility. So when something is a screw up or it doesn't work well for the senior pastor, say, hey, I take responsibility for that. We want to create a culture and environment where people take chances. And sometimes we hit it and sometimes we don't.
Right.
But I bear, like, it's my, so shouldering that on our shoulders to create a protective environment for the person to be willing to take risks.
Right.
Very
absolutely.
Good. Very true.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your questions. I would like to end and just pray over you guys. Just release, you know, that heart of pursuing Jesus. So, Lord, we just want to honor you once again. Thank you for this time together. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will solidify the things that have been spoken this afternoon, the things from your word, the things that we just shared as we've learned. And I pray that you will continue to cultivate within our churches, the churches that we represent here, within our hearts, that desire to stay true to the heart of worship. And that is you, Jesus, and you alone. It's your presence. It's you we're after. It's you we're hungry for. And I pray that you will help those that have been listening to give hands and feet to the things that they've just heard. And maybe just even baby steps, Lord, but it's a beginning. And I trust that you will continue to work in every person when it comes to worship, that we will not lose the focus and have our eyes set on outer things that are not important, but that we will keep our hearts pure and pursuing your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.